Our scripture today is from the Gospel of Luke, the very last chapter, chapter 24. Now it picks up after the resurrection story, and I think you probably all know that story, especially since Easter was just 2 weeks ago. It was the first day of the week. Mary and other women went to the tomb, and it was empty, and there was an angel that told them, "He is risen, just as he said. Go and tell his disciples." And so they did. And here is where our scripture lesson picks up. Now it was the same day when two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Jesus asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened here in these days?" "What things?" Jesus asked. "Well, about Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, now it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our own women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but could not find his body there. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who told them that he was alive. Then some of our own companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him there." Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" So beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's almost evening and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. And then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" Then they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It's true, it's true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told them everything that had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word, for revealing yourself to us through your word and through your spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us the truth, the comfort, the reassurance that each of us needs here in this place at this time. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the week started pretty well. Palm branches, the people hailing Jesus as their next king, the king to rescue Israel. Jesus went into Jerusalem, he went into the temple, and the Gospels tell us that he was teaching in the temple every day, and the people were amazed. They were listening to all that he had to say. Then after about 3 days of that, He celebrated the Passover feast with his disciples in the upper room. Fitting, isn't it? The people hailing Jesus as Messiah, the promised one of God, the Holy One of Israel, who would come and redeem God's people, would come and rescue them from the oppressors, who at this time was the Roman Empire. But then something went terribly wrong. It was like a bad dream that would never end. They went to the garden and they prayed, and then the soldiers came. One of their very own sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. They took him, trumped up charges, a sham of a jury and trial, found guilty of things that he had not done wrong. The chief priests and religious leaders even turned the people against Jesus, working up the crowd to say, "Give us Barabbas and crucify him. We don't want him anymore." You see, the religious leaders at that time, they were looking for a Messiah that went along with their agenda. Their agenda was self-serving. Their agenda was about power and greed and manipulating the people. Their agenda caused division with the people of Israel. It was an us and them agenda. Us being the ones who made the rules and kept the rules. Us being the ones who were holier than those sinners that we did not associate with. You see, the people who were drawn to Jesus were people who were in need of things that they could not provide for themselves. They were in need of that which their religious leaders did not provide for them because the religious leaders served themselves. Jesus said very clearly and very plainly that he came to seek and to save those who were lost, that he did not come to be served. He came to serve others and lay down his life for many. Jesus touched many lives in the 3 short years that he was ministering on earth. He touched the lives of lepers who needed to be healed. He touched the lives of those who were blind, those who could not walk. He touched the lives of women who were made to worship in a different part of the temple, this being the temple that Herod built. Women who were unclean, the woman, do you remember the woman who bled for, 12 years? In those days, the bleeding would have prevented her from coming to temple and worshiping. Jesus touched her, she touched his garment, and she was healed. And he affirmed her as a daughter of Jerusalem. He healed her physically, and he healed her sense of identity and who she was in the community. Now she was no longer unclean. She was a daughter of Abraham and able to worship again with the community. Jesus blessed the children when the disciples told the parents not to bother Jesus. You see, children are important to Jesus too. And do you remember the widow in Nain whose only son had died? You see, in those days, a widow depended on her son to take care of her because she no longer had her husband to do so. So without a husband, now no children, she was helpless, and she was hopeless. And what did Jesus do? His heart was broken. It says his gut was wrenched with compassion. And so he touched the bier where the body was, making himself unclean by the rituals. And he brought the son back to life, and it says, and he gave the widow back her son. These are the people that Jesus touched and took care of. He ministered to them. He let them know that he loved them, that God loved them, and that they had a place in God's kingdom. These were the people that the religious leaders distanced themselves from on their own terms. The people that reached out to Jesus, their hopes were gone, and they did not know where to turn to for real help. Now, times have changed. It's been a couple thousand years since Jesus walked the earth, but we know that people have not changed. We as human beings, we still need to know that we are loved, that we belong to community, that we matter, not only to each other, but that we matter to God. We need to know that God loves us no matter what, that God's grace and God's forgiveness, God's tender mercies never run out, and that God never gives up on us. We need to belong to community because that's the way God has created us. God has created us to be in a good relationship, a right relationship with God and with each other, a loving, harmonious, working together relationship with God and with each other. That's what we were created for. In our text this morning, the two disciples walking along the road to Emmaus, they were without a clue that this was Jesus walking with them. Now, the scripture tells us that they were kept from recognizing. I have a hunch that that is because if they had known it was Jesus, I don't think they would have been able to hear the lesson that he taught them from scripture, how he revealed himself in the scriptures and the prophets from the Old Testament. They would have just been blown away by the fact that Jesus wasn't dead anymore. So their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And so they heard. And they were amazed. They weren't expecting the risen Lord there. Just like the women went to the tomb, it was empty. And some of the gospel accounts tell us that Jesus met them along the way after they had left the empty tomb. In John, the evening of the resurrection day, Jesus comes and he meets the disciples who were behind locked doors, afraid that they would be next. And Jesus, the doors didn't stop him. They didn't expect Jesus to come through the doors either. And the first thing he said was, "Peace, don't be afraid." You see, they were not expecting their risen Lord. In our text too, their eyes were opened when Jesus came into them, a perfect stranger. They showed tremendous Christian hospitality in inviting this man in. It says their eyes were opened when the bread was broken. Jesus took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to them. And then they knew who it was. How it is that in the ordinary taking of bread, bread is a staple today. It was a staple 2,000 years ago. There was bread every day. The ordinary bread, taking it, blessing it, and breaking it, that their eyes were open to see Jesus, the divine revealed in the ordinary. We as God's people, as the body of Christ, we are not clueless. We know the story. And if you came in here this morning and you didn't know the story, you've got at least the core of the story. That Jesus is God, that Jesus came because of God's love to rescue us from living for ourselves so that we could live for God according to God's original design, that Jesus died on the cross, as one of my new young friends pointed out very clearly and very bravely. Jesus died for our sins, not merely to cover them or push them aside, but to obliterate our sins. They are gone. And then he rose from the dead, just like he said. God is faithful. God does what God says that God will do. He ascended to the right hand of God, and he is coming again. We know who we are. When Jesus left and the Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost, it was to empower the disciples of Jesus, the 120 plus followers of Jesus who had followed Jesus' instructions and were in that upper room waiting for the promise of the Father. And the promise came, and it was the Holy Spirit, like tongues of fire, the writer tells us. And a rushing wind came in the room. This was a physical experience for these people. This wasn't something quiet. And the world was never the same after that. They were given power from on high. They were given the same power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead. And that power, the Holy Spirit, has lived on and on and on. Within those of us who claim to be Christians, and around us and around God's world, doing God's work and coming toward us all the time with God's grace, drawing us into relationship with God and into relationship with each other. We know who we are. We know that Jesus is present with us through the Spirit and in us. With us, embodying the Holy Spirit, the divine is revealed in the ordinary. Ordinary people like you and me, flaws, warts, and all, the divine is revealed in us as we go throughout our days. May 1st, according to the terms of call, was my first official day here serving at First Presbyterian of Auburndale. And I learned on Tuesday, because I snuck into the office to meet Nicole and kind of get the lay of the land, I met some very lovely people who are coming through the office. I met Nancy Browning. She was looking for volunteers for the food pantry for the month of May. And if she hasn't called you, please call her. And I learned that the food pantry serves our neighbors on Tuesday afternoon from 3 to 5, and Tuesday mornings from 10 till 12. I'm still learning. I met Stuart, who is an amazing bundle of energy and always serving, making sure that the food pantry goes. You know Stuart, okay. And then I met Judy Judy, who loves the children and teaches the children about Jesus. Well, Thursday when I arrived, I had the privilege of serving through the food pantry, and I met Betty Jester, served with her, served with Nancy Browning, served with Stuart, and served with Charlie. And it was a wonderful experience. You talk about the ordinariness of a loaf of bread and how their eyes were opened. Every man, woman, and child who came to the food pantry because they needed food. We can't live without food. The divine was revealed with every person that Betty signed in and offered a blessing, with every grocery bag that was packed by Charlie and Nancy. And as I had the privilege of giving the bags and offering a blessing from God to the men and women and the children who came in, the divine revealed in the ordinary giving of food. That's what this is all about. That's what being church and being the body of Christ is all about. We're ordinary people. Mother Teresa, you know, she served the lepers in Calcutta. She's with Jesus now, you know. She said, and I'm going to try and get it right, there are no great acts of kindness. There are only small acts given with great love. Giving a cup of cold water, Jesus said, in my name, to the least of these, you're doing the same as if you gave me a cup of cold water. So when we serve men and women and children at the food pantry, it's like serving Jesus. They are no less important than you and I and our families are. You see, our God, Creator God, the one and only God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Jesus Christ, this God wants to be known. And if we read nothing else in Scripture, we read that God will stop at nothing in revealing God's self to us. I mean, God went to all the trouble of becoming a human being, something that God had never been before, claiming solidarity with the fallen human race, and saying, I love you. I want to rescue you, not to condemn you. Come to me. I have a better way of life for you. The table reminds us that death is not the final word. At the Last Supper, Jesus broke the bread, and he poured the wine, and he said, now this is the new covenant in my blood. My body is being broken for you. My blood is poured out for your forgiveness. This is the new covenant, the everlasting covenant, the covenant that there is no more, it's the final covenant. This is resurrection covenant. This is new life covenant. This is Holy Spirit power covenant. Because now the responsibility, nay, the joy of bringing the gospel out into God's world with a bag of food at the food pantry or with a smile to a stranger in the grocery store. This is who we are. This is the gospel. This is the good news. So if you take away nothing else this morning from the word and from the table, please remember the divine being revealed in the ordinary, and that's you and me, that God's grace and love and mercy are relentless and unstoppable, and that God has called us and saved us and empowered us with God's Spirit to be instruments of the love and grace made flesh in Jesus Christ. Please remember who you are. Let's pray. God, thank you for your patience with us. We are a forgetful people and easily distracted sometimes from who we are and whose we are. Thank you, God, for writing it down in black and white for us, for helping us to remind each other. Thank you for Jesus and the table, where we come and gather to remember. Help us to embody your word and go out embodying the good news for our neighbors and our friends and our families. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.